Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, which we'll be considering for our devotion this morning, comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verses 26 through 29. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, "Destroy." Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Dear friends in Christ, you can't go over it. You can't go under it. You can't go around it. You got to go through it. I think I'd heard this, I think it qualifies as a nursery rhyme, when I was very young and proceeded to not think about it for 15 years. Perhaps some of you have heard it too. I was recently reacquainted with it a couple of summers ago at God's Kids Bible Camp, the folk tale going on a bear hunt. The kids would gleefully exclaim that they are going to hunt a bear, and then they would proceed to enact all the obstacles they would go through: a tall grassy field, a mushroom patch, a river, and finally they'd get to a dark cave, find the bear, and run all the way back, slam the door behind them, lock it, and exclaim defiantly, "I'm not scared." Our texts for this morning are the last recorded words of the prophet Moses to the people of Israel. Certainly, these were people who overcame many obstacles as they traveled from Egypt to the land of Canaan. And they would continue to run into obstacles as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and then went about conquering Canaan, the land promised to them by the Lord. These obstacles, these enemies, these hardships, they would very often try to skirt around and avoid. Though they couldn't do that, they would continually try to do that over and over again, and they always came to the same conclusion. You can't go around it. You got to go through it. Moses here is very purposeful in leaving Israel with a blessing, a promise, and an encouragement from the Lord. Israel had been doubtful, delinquent, and downright disobedient on more than one occasion under Moses' leadership. They had come through many hardships and trials and obstacles, like at the Red Sea when they were pursued by Pharaoh and his chariots, in the wilderness of Sin when they were overcome with hunger, and in the wilderness in Rephidim when they ran out of water. And each time they wanted to go around the obstacle instead of letting the Lord guide them through it. "Why did we ever leave Egypt?" they complained. "Better to live as a slave than to die in the middle of nowhere." And each time, God pulled them through, kicking and screaming through each of those obstacles, literally leading them through the Red Sea and collapsing it on the pursuing army, giving them food from heaven in the form of manna, and giving them water from a rock. It is on this basis of God's deliverance and trusting by faith that God would continue to do what he had promised to do and provide for his people that Moses says, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? A people saved by the Lord." There would continue to be many occasions where Israel would have no choice but to go through it. But Moses knew and encouraged Israel to believe that just as God had brought them through all of these hardships before, he would continue to do so again and again and again. What does that mean for us today? We are not part of that Old Testament nation of Israel. Many of us, most of us, probably have no Jewish heritage at all. And so, where do we fit into these Old Testament promises of God? All of the obstacles that Israel overcame, the conquering of armies and destroying of kings, God allowed them to do so that he might prepare the way for the coming Messiah to be born of Judah. But that was accomplished. So where does that leave us? Paul clears this up for us in Galatians 3 when he says, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Now, that's a very important connection for us. Be we Jew or Gentile, be we male or female, tall or short, we are sons of Abraham by our spirit-worked faith and heirs of his promises. Now, we might not face armies or starvation, but we do face enemies every day, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Try as we may, there will be times when we want to avoid the suffering, the temptation, and the persecution. But there will be times when we can't go over it, can't go around it, can't go under it, and we got to go through it. Thank God, then, that these final words of Moses recorded here were for Israel in the Old Testament, as well as for the spiritual Israel, us, today. I overheard one of the kids at the summer camp, after they had just sung the Bear Hunt song, put on a very serious face and ask his counselor, "Why didn't they just use a tank?" And we all got a pretty good chuckle out of that, you know. That's just a dumb question from a little kid. But when you stop and think about it for a second, if you're going on a bear hunt, yeah, a tank would be a pretty useful thing to have. Dear Christian friends, we have access to a power much greater than any tank. Many of us are probably going through things in our lives right now that we would do anything to try and avoid. But some things, there's no going over, going under, or going around. We have to go through it. In fact, because of sin and its consequences, it's very often we ourselves that are putting these obstacles in our paths. And just like Israel, we doubt and complain and disobey when we face them. But God is more powerful than any of these things that we face. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you. He is more safe than any place as well. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Because of Christ's atoning sacrifice and the work of the Holy Spirit creating faith in our hearts to believe his promises, Jehovah is our God as well, and we are his people. We can run to him in prayer when we come to these obstacles, and we return to him after he has inevitably delivered us once again to give him thanks. For he says in Psalm 50, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Happy are you, O spiritual Israel, who is a people like you, saved by the Lord. Having been justified in Christ and saved from the most dangerous enemy of all, sin, the answer is that there are no people like you whose God is the Lord. There's no power or principality, trial or temptation, disaster or even death that you cannot overcome in Christ, who triumphed over death and has made us more than conquerors in him. Therefore, we take the same confidence that the writer of Psalm 46 expressed in these words, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. We sing hymn 262, verses 1 and 2. 262, verses 1 and 2.